You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 3 December. We've got US import-export data due this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. We had local GDP out yesterday. It was fourth quarter of growth, but still very modest. I want to dig into that with her. We're chatting with Bradley Sachs from Araxia, previously Capital Appreciation. Strong results, good cash generation, although a lot of restating of numbers, which maybe added some complexity. And then we're chatting with Frikkie van Luckenbach, CEO, IFSA Asset Management. Holistic view of your investments, all the different parts, making sure they fit together. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Traxtion kickstarts private SA rail boom with 3.4 billion rand investment. It is fully funded with equity backing by one of their shareholders and debt funding from Absa. Business Day, Sibanye settles wage talks with SA gold miners. Sibanye Stillwater in wage deal with unions. A three-year deal, average pay increase 5.4%. Morning markets, the US markets were green, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ 0.8% higher. The East is mixed. We got, Sydney is a couple of points higher, Tokyo a little over 1% up, and then Hong Kong and Tencent both 1% weaker. Commodities mostly red, gold futures down a few dollars at 4,250, Brent is 62.43, platinum 1,661, and palladium is the green, 1,512. The rand is 1709. Bitcoin is 92,800. And top 40 opening call, a 270 point or just over 0.25% red open.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. GDP data came out yesterday, local data, 0.5% for quarter on quarter. It is four quarters of growth. It's nice. And my sentiment is, man, our bar is low. We are moving in the right direction very slowly. I suppose we take what we can grab with both hands.
Yeah, I think the word nice actually summarizes it pretty well. I mean, it's not fantastic, but we have to take what we can get, right? And I think when you go into the detail, there are a few things that stand out. Mm-hmm. So firstly, this was very difficult to forecast because what led to the beat was the agriculture sector. Yeah. And it is notoriously lumpy, difficult to forecast. But in this case, it contributed very nicely. So it's difficult to say whether or not the sustained upward trajectory or acceleration in growth is going to continue into the fourth quarter and beyond because it's been driven by agriculture. Then the other thing that stood out to me was gross fixed capital formation, right? And we know we need this. We need this to accelerate growth further. And the headline reading looked really great. And that was the first thing that stood out to me. But it seems to have been driven by government and public corporations. And unfortunately, private businesses are still not really investing.
I get your point there, because that's a number that stood out for me. And at 1.6%, the first increase since third quarter of last year. But we need business. And business in many cases, and we often talk around it, I mean, they've got the cash. They just don't have the confidence. And that perhaps is more than anything. You need confidence to go and build a building because it's going to be there for, well, decades or forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And really the multiplier effect of that fixed investment is absolutely huge. Mm. And by multiplier effect, I mean that you are building a building, but it's not only a building that you are going to be operating out of. It's not only to the benefit of the business, but there's a construction process behind building that building. There's additional electricity consumption and water consumption, which actually brings money into the fiscus. Well, unless you've got JoJo tanks and solar panels, which most of these new buildings do. But there's there's money in pockets of consumers again. That goes into household expenditure. So it's very, very important. We are not going to ignite growth. But it's also not necessarily just on the part of business where the issue lies with confidence. For businesses to feel confident, they need to feel like the policy environment is favorable, and they need to feel like the external environment isn't threatening. And I think at this point in time, both of those issues aren't fully resolved, particularly not the latter. It's chaos out there, Simon.
It is. And my follow-up, my last question was going to be, you know, this is perhaps a bit of more tailwind for banks. We've had the getting off the grey list. We've had lower rates. We've got upgrades from S&P. But again, that tailwind is, I mean, it's barely a breeze, I suppose, is the challenge.
Yeah, but I mean, we're already seeing bank stock prices picking up. And I think that for now, if you look at these bank trading updates, it seems as if they are very positive around loosening up and extending more credit. At this point in time, it seems to be focused on the household sector, and that's where the demand is. But I think the capacity is there to also push credit out to businesses and really kind of co-invest in driving this gross fixed capital formation that we desperately need to lift growth above 2%.
Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning. Give your money smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Brad Sachs, CEO of Arexia. This is previously Capital Appreciation. Results for 6 months ending September, revenue up 2.3%. Normalized HEPS up 58%. There's some restatement, but that's the number that made the most sense. Brad, appreciate the time. Payments division, let's start there. Really, really strong performance there. Revenue up nicely. Profits up even better.
Yeah, so Simon, what you're getting to see there is the benefits of a scale business where we get very good operating leverage, particularly in a business which is highly dependent on our software capabilities. And we are being able to advance our leadership position in that market segment.
Is software in many senses the secret sauce? Because it is, of course, a competitive space.
Yeah, so the thing that distinguishes our payments business is not necessarily the hardware. We do have two really fantastic hardware platforms, being Ingenico and Newland. But what distinguishes us and differentiates the capabilities is our proprietary software and software development capabilities, which make the terminals do what they need to do in a very efficient and seamless manner.
Terminals grew 15%, almost 450,000. And this is strong annuity income as well. I imagine most often when you've signed up a client for a terminal, they probably stay around and earn for a while.
Yeah, the contracts that we have with our customers are normally more than 3 years, sometimes as long as seven. Mm-hmm. And we continue to provide services to them when that terminal then expires. We replace it with something else, and they are long-term contracts.
In results, you also mentioned that bank clients were looking to service the merchants. They're looking to move into lower-tier markets, which is opening up new potential space here as well.
Correct. So what we have been focused on is growing the market opportunity for digital payments. Mm-hmm. And as you increase the use of digital payments, be that in a credit or debit card or a wallet attached to your phone or some other device, that requires infrastructure. And it's important to be able to service all ends of the market. We've introduced a really fantastic full-featured solution that is at a very affordable price. So our view is, let's grow the market, help our bank customers who have traditionally not acted in that space, act in that space, and help grow the base of exposure for digital payments.
If we look at the existing base, I mean, I imagine you've got some really, really large merchants using it, as well as down to probably a single mom or pop store.
That's correct. Now, remember, the merchant customer is not our customer directly. Our customer is the financial institution that works with the retailer. Mm-hmm. But we have some of the largest retailers in the country, and then we do have some mom and pops as well that have our devices.
Your software division, a tough H1, but you do say you've been signing new contracts and they're going to come through in the second half and looking much better for second half and I suppose into financial year 27.
Correct. So our software results are affected by two material factors this period. One is an accounting restatement that we processed for the financial year ended March 25, but it hadn't worked its way into the half-year results. So it had to work its way into this set of half-year results for purposes of comparison. Mm-hmm. And the second is, with the weaknesses that we had seen in the software sector, we had undertaken a restructuring. And so we incurred a one-time cost of about 10 million rand associated with a round of layoffs that we thought were absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. They are going to give rise to approximately 30 million rand of run rate savings on an annual basis, which are not reflected in these results. And so when you adjust for all of those things, we think the business is in a much stronger position now than it was before. And we've seen some good traction with customers towards the end of the half year, which we anticipate coming through in H2.
These contracts are, they're contracts rather than single events, I imagine, and the contracts will run for, I mean, potentially for years.
Well, it depends. Some of them are 18 months and some of them will run about 3 years. It depends on the size of the project. Where we had the license transaction, which gave rise to the restatement, that was a five-year license of proprietary software that we had developed. And so our relationships in the software division run anywhere from a number of months to 5 to 8 years in some instances.
The business overall, very strong cash generation, sitting on over 300 million in cash. And this is a core of the business. I mean, it is an asset-light business that generates good cash.
It is, and that's one of the characteristics that we've looked for in acquisition opportunities, things that are cash generative. In our instance here, we took cash generation of the business from 11 million last year to 90 million this year, some of which is a result of a runoff in working capital, which is a matter of timing. But our businesses across the board are cash generative and operate very well.
You mentioned their acquisitions as the last question. I mean, I imagine you're always on the lookout for acquisitions, probably also to a fair degree. I would think maybe smaller bolt-on than a large deal.
Well, we're not beholden to one or the other. Okay. We will look at both. There are circumstances that we think a large acquisition would make sense, and there have been some bolt-ons that we think make sense. So we are continuing to pursue both courses of both paths.
But a decent war chest, whichever route you take, we leave it there. Bradley Sachs, CEO of Arexi, which, as I said, previously Capital Appreciation. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Frikkie van Langenberg, CEO of IFSA Asset Managers. Frikkie, I appreciate the time. A recent note you put out, you're talking around holistic financial planning. And it kind of struck with me because we do kind of, I think, sit in silos, but financial decisions are, they're interconnected. They have to be, and they absolutely are.
100%. Thank you for chatting to me, Mr. Brown. It's always a pleasure. It's a standard theme, I would say, the last couple of years coming through, but very, very strong the last year. We had a brief discussion around what happens in the financial markets and how quickly things change. If you take a look at predictions and modeling, what's going to happen, and nobody's got a crystal ball, but just in theory, what could happen, things change in a blink of an eye. So your financial planning and your strategy should actually reflect those changes.
And this is all of it. I mean, it's investments, it's retirement. I mean, it's insurance and estate planning, and of course, tax planning. It is all of those pieces kind of fitting together. I mean, I want to use the cliche jigsaw puzzle analogy.
You 100%. So it's more like a 100,000 piece puzzle when you actually take a look at it and drill down to the point. But absolutely, that's 100%. If your pre-retirement or your post-retirement has got to do with what assets that you've got, what is your specific goal, what asset classes you need to choose to get a strategic point of view to that, then take an overlay of tax to see what the tax efficiency and cost efficiency of the whole strategy would be. And then, of course, then to underpin that, you need an estate duty or a estate duty calculator, estate plan with your will to make sure that everything talks like it should. And it can change, like I said, in a blink of an eye.
And that's just it. It's not that what you did a year ago or five or even a decade ago was wrong or bad. It's that things do change. I mean, you know, life insurance, your need around life insurance is going to change as you age, as circumstances change, and it's adjusting to that.
100%. If you take it, usually you've got your circumstances in life that changes when you buy or sell an asset or you do an investment or redeem an investment or whatever the case is. But there's strange things that happen organically, like you get an increase at your income, you pay off a debt, whatever the case. So naturally over a 12-month term, that changes. But realistically, if you really take a look at it in the economic situation that we are now, something like one of your kids loses their job because of retrenchments, whatever. Now you want to help them because they've got kids at school at varsity. You help them and you take care of them. Now there's a real effect on your capital, on your retirement planning, on your capital base. And also, if you drill that down to the estate planning as well, is it fair that one of your children gets that help now and the other one does not? Do you have to compensate for that in that specific sense? And it's just something so simple. You want to be able to help and assist, and you're going to do it, but it has got a real life effect on your portfolio.
And it's also, I mean, we have, as we get older, we sort of, I don't know, we seem to collect investments, and then you look back at it and it might have been a fit for purpose. But I mean, I look at, you know, sometimes something, maybe an investment from 20 years ago, maybe even the late 90s, and I'm scratching my head around it and thinking, I don't know. I mean, it's like we're collecting them and we need to review and make sure they still fit for purpose.
100%. It's all about staying relevant. Not relevant in the sense that you are chasing the next best thing, but actually out of a strategic point of view, taking a look at what is your actual goal, your risk appetite for volatility, and then actually constructing a portfolio that includes all your asset classes from vanilla bonds, equities, straight through offshore and to the private equity and private debt space, and making sure that your portfolio stays relevant out of a cost perspective, because the platforms are just getting cheaper and cheaper, and the information is just widely out there. So out of a strategic point of view, making sure that your portfolio stays relevant to what you need, but also to the circumstances in broad in the economy.
And it is, it's a complex process. It's regulation, it's laws, it's all sort, it's investment themes. You know, 5 years ago, AI wasn't on anyone's lips. Now it's on everyone's lips. This really is a team process. This isn't a, I mean, there might be some super smart person, but this really is a team that you need behind you, helping you.
100%. And it's specific disciplines as well, because everybody, there is certain companies that know a lot about a lot. But when it comes to proper portfolio management, proper portfolio construction, tax planning, and then the estate planning as well, you want professionals on all specific levels. So specifically, if your portfolio is of size, and then it starts getting relative, because one wrong move, and then either you pay a heap of tax, or there's something wrong with your will if you should die. And that's where most of the complications should happen, and you're not there anymore to tell people what the intention was of your plan, and that gives us a bit of a problem.
Yeah, and that's a great point. It is around making sure that what we want is going to happen. That's critically important, and that we are up to date in the process. We'll leave it there. Vicky from Lagenberg, CEO of IFSA Asset Management. Appreciate the time.
That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. The holistic view of everything: investments, tax, estate planning, insurance, financial needs, the whole story. Do you have full insights into all of your money? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We were chatting with Jimmy Moyaha yesterday. We're talking about that high prop trading update. And we asked if you thought local shopping malls seemed busier. Certainly the high prop numbers said, yeah, they're getting more foot traffic. You all voted equally split between, yes, getting crowded, not really, and the other third saying some more than others. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Norbuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow, the Afrimat Construction Index.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.